our gospel today is technically John's version of a birth narrative. Although I really doubt that anybody is going to use this as the inspiration for a Christmas pageant anytime soon. A light in the darkness, words, flesh, a father's only son. It's all very abstract. For all of its unusual nature, though, we get this interesting tidbit. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. Now, if we fast forward to Good Friday, we get that. We know that. We know Jesus gets abandoned and tortured in the end. But John foreshadows this while presenting the beginning of Jesus' earthly life. Now, 5 days ago, we were in this spot and we are celebrating with the joyous birth of Jesus with stories and with carols. But bound up in that story of Jesus' birth is also a story about fear and doubt, violence and oppression. It's a story of Jesus coming to his own people and being rejected. Yesterday was the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Now, since it only appears in the Gospel of Matthew, it can be easy to forget that Herod, who was so upset that he was unable to find the Christ child, he orders the murder of every male child in Bethlehem under the age of 2. But lucky for the Holy Family, an angel comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt because they will be safe there. And they go with haste. Jesus was so unwelcome by those in power that he has to flee to another country as a newborn. Now, the Gospels are silent about what happened on that long journey. But many apocryphal stories aren't. I want to share a few of them with you today. In the Gospel of Pseudo-Matthew, we hear this: both lions and panthers worshipped and accompanied him in the desert wherever Mary went with Joseph. And they would go before them, showing the road and displaying their obedience, bowing their enormous heads with reverence. They displayed their servitude by wagging their tails. But the first day that Mary saw lions and panthers and various monstrous wild beasts coming around them, she was exceedingly afraid. But at the sight of her face, the child Jesus smiled, and speaking to her in a comforting voice, said, "Do not be afraid, Mother. Truly they hasten to come, not to injure you, but to serve you." And with these words, he removed the fear from her heart. Therefore lions and asses and oxen and the pack horses that carried their provisions walked together, and wherever they made a stop, they would go together to pasture. There were also tame rams who had come out of Judea together and followed them, and who would walk among wolves without fear. None feared another, and none was hurt by another in any way. Then was fulfilled what Isaiah said, "The wolves will feed with the lambs, and the lion and the ox will feed on straw together." Indeed, there were 2 oxen on their journey as beasts of burden, whom lions guided on the journey of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose provisions they carried. I love this image of all of the animals coming together to help them on their journey, even animals that would be predator and prey, And I would really love to see some panthers or some lions added to nativity sets. That would just be great. Elsewhere, we hear even about plants that are coming forward to help the Holy Family. And also, from the pseudo-gospel of Matthew, we hear on the third day from their departure, Mary became fatigued by too much sun in the desert, and seeing a palm tree, she wanted to rest in its shade for a little while. And hastening, Joseph led her to the palm and took her down from the mule. And when Mary had sat down looking at the foliage of the palm, she saw that it was full of fruit and said, "Oh, if only it were possible that I might gather some of those fruits of the palm." Joseph said to her, "I am amazed that you say this. When you see the great height of this palm, indeed, you think about the fruits of the palm. But I think about water that we now lack in the water bags and how we have nowhere to refill them or to revive ourselves." Then the baby boy Jesus, sitting in the lap of his mother, the virgin, called out to the palm tree and said, "Bend down, tree, and refresh my mother with fruit." Immediately then, at his voice, the palm bent its top down to Mary's feet, and gathering the fruit from it, all were refreshed. But even after all its fruit was collected, it remained bent down, expecting that it should arise at the command of the one by whose command it had bent down. Then Jesus said to it, "Raise yourself, palm. Be both strengthened and be a companion to my trees, which are in my Father's paradise. Uncover then secret springs from your roots, and may water flow from them in abundance." And immediately the palm rose, and springs of water began to flow through its roots, clear and cold and most sweet. Seeing then the springs of water flowing, they rejoiced with great joy, and they drank together as beasts and humans, giving thanks to God. Now, the place where this tree was said to have been located is still marked in Cairo, in Egypt, although there was an alternative one that was planted in the 17th century. This is also the same story that inspired the folk carol, the Cherry Tree Carol. So that one's about a cherry tree, but pretty much similar plot line. And then in another apocryphal book, the Syriac Infancy Gospel, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph stop each day in a town where someone needs to be healed. Sometimes people are possessed with a demon. Other times they have leprosy. Still in others, there is a castle that is under the spell of witchcraft. In each place that they visit, they heal. They are taken in. They are fed, and they are given shelter. Then, here is my favorite of the apocryphal stories. And no one has ever described it as a gospel, but I think it might possibly be the most honest telling of the story. "The man led me, and I carried the woman all the way to Bethlehem. And then the baby was born. The shepherds came first. After them came the kings. When the last king left, the scent of frankincense lingering in the air, we all slept, and the man had a dream of danger. He woke long before the sun rose and told the woman. She took the baby and kissed him. She smelled his sweet baby breath and felt his soft, warm baby skin and how his lashes tickled her cheek as he sleepily nuzzled her neck. 'Time to go,' she said. Then they wrapped him up warm and kissed him again, and the man came to get me. He patted me between the ears and led me out. Come on, old friend, we're off on a journey again. And we left some gold for the innkeeper, for he had been good to us when others had not. And we set off. Under starlight, through empty streets, while people were sleeping, hoping for the kindness of strangers. Again. And we passed the shepherds and the fields where there were whispered blessings and the movement of sheep in the darkness and the clasp of rough hands and the love of warm hearts. And I kept walking, carrying my precious load, and the woman held the baby close to her. She and the man talked about journeys and dreams and warnings and the love of a baby and the kindness of strangers. And when we rested and they were frightened, they took hope from each other and from the baby's tiny first smile. And we entered into Egypt and we found refuge. While none of these books and none of these stories are considered scripture, they do fill in gaps for us, often in very creative ways. And in doing so, they speak some universal truths into the story. We all need kindness. We all need care. We all need help to bear our burdens. And I imagine that these kinds of formative events would forever change how Jesus would see the world. And I wonder if his absolute affinity for the poor and the marginalized resulted from his experience as a refugee. In his ministry, is he paying forward the gifts of kindness that were given to him and his family when he was a newborn? What is absolutely clear from these accounts is that God was acting in and through the people, animals, plants, and things that the Holy Family passed on the way. God was caring for them passionately as they were running for their lives. Without a doubt, God is on the side of the oppressed. God's plan is nothing less than flourishing for all. You can either be for it or against it. Where do you stand?